southern part of Gunung Kidul. It's a district in Yogyakarta, which is dominated by karst area, so it's dry and less fertile compared to other in the different area in Gunung Kidul. And due to this prey conditions and also the changing climates, the community, they face the risk of crop failure every year. Actually, small farmers, they face the risk of having the crop failure. But according to the government policy, the government will declare crop failures only if the total harvest in the district reduced by 11%. So if it's only 10% loss, it's not crop failure. And also the second one is water scarcity. So that every dry, long dry season, every year the community, they will buy water either for their daily consume, but also for the livestock, because livestock for is almost a household. They have the livestock for helping the farmers do the land cultivations. And not only that, they also have to buy livestock feeds during dry seasons. So sometimes they have to sell the livestock for buying water and also buying the livestock feeds. And the other consequences is also a pest attack, and which also increasing the risk of crop failure. And there is also barriers to the resilience, community resilience. The first one is that the farmers in Gunung Kidul is not much exposed to the technology and also access to information on the changing climate. When is the right time for planting is also limited. But in another hand, they also still have the strong belief about their seasonal calendar that has been used for years before. And the government, they have crop insurance actually, but this crop insurance is not operational for the rainwater harvest farming. So they cannot claim for this crop insurance. And also the crop insurance itself will only be able to be claimed if the damage is more than 70%. So it's not doable for the small farmers. And also the limited seed subsidy, despite of the low price of harvest in Gunung Kidul, actually the price of the seed is also very expensive. That's why we also give capacity building to the farmers to make their own seeds bank. And also another challenge is that because we want to change the mindset of the farmers from traditional farming into using the science on the climates, changing climates, and then when using the different variety that is adaptive to the drought, we also need to undergo the trial and error processes, because when we want to have the demonstration plot, the farmer will quite they would be hesitate if they want to provide a big chunk of land for the demonstration plot, because they are afraid of taking the risk for another failure. So in the first, but after, right now we are in the second phase of plant harvesting, and after the first harvest, then they gain confidence so that they, for the next demonstration plot, they come with bigger lands. And also, It makes the community program makes the community know the climate so that they know the right time to plan and also understand the plant pest organism and how to prevent this pest attack in organic ways and also to make the farmers be familiar with organic farming and also how to do the land cultivation properly in a less fertile area and also use the climate resilience variety. And it's so there's also this local variety which is resistant to drought. So we try to ensure that this local variety is not being left by the farmer, but be preserved because this could have a low failure during the long dry season. And also to introduce another type of variety of plant. Like for example, onion in the second phase of planting because normally they will only plant paddy and then nuts. So just a typical plant which is actually not really the price is not really good. So that we also introduced that actually with this type of land you can plant onion or another variety which is actually good for the farmer's income. Stop to that.
Okay, yeah. Thanks very much. Happy. So let's turn to our readers. Grace, wrong list. Nisha and Greel. So.
Okay, while going through this, case study, I found it very interesting case study, the works that have been consolidated in this paper. And what I found is that knowledge only is not accepted. If there is only knowledge, there will be no change in the attitude. But once you demonstrate it and show it to the community and they learn from the practical observation, and then only that kind of thing they take it on. Only knowledge is not enough, is clearly reflected from this paper. And then the other thing was the paper talks about the fermentation of livestock feed. You know? So it is kind of very new to us for the livestock feed is fermented because we for here, and I don't know about others, we just store the livestock feed for other seasons where the feed is not produced. But fermentation of livestock is a very new thing for us. So I would like to know more about the fermentation process, how it is done, and if it adds to the nutrition value or not, or so it will be a very new thing. I don't know for others, but for us it's a very new thing, fermentation of the livestock feed for other seasons where you don't get the feed for the livestock and where you have to buy it. So that I want to know more about the livestock feed. One thing I want to know, you mentioned about the demonstration projects in two of the sites, that one is the organic farming and one is the regular farming type, and they got to know about. But is that thing, if it could be more on, if that thing is carried on by the farmers, how do they take it? Is that replicated or the farmers, did they do that after seeing that? Did they start implementing that or did they just observe it and then was there any change after that demonstration? Was there any change in their perception towards that kind of farming? Mm-hmm. So if there could be any, what was the outcome of that? Mm-hmm. So that part I want to know about. And one interesting thing was the farmers, the different grade of farmers. You mentioned about the three grades of farmer, the contact farmer, the advanced farmer, and the follower farmer. So if you could elaborate more on the on those, like what do you mean by the contact farmer, the advanced farmer, and the follow farmer? It is written here that the contact farmers are the opinion leaders or the leaders, or they give the opinions. So if you could have, I was like interested to know if there is any association or any network between these different levels of farmers. No? If there is any formal association or informal association, how do they actually work? What kind of information flow process is there or not? So I wanted to know on that, if there is any formal mechanism or associations like that. Because I was linking it to our context. Like here we have a Masons Association. We have the lead Masons and the follower Masons, and they have the association, and they are a kind of a very strong association in our context, because they are the ones who go and influence people on building the construction. So the follower Masons are guided by the lead Masons to do their work. So is there any kind of association between these farmers? Because I guess it will be a very good to have such networks, you know, so that they can work on in a collaborative manner. So yes, that's the thing. I guess I have.
Okay, thank you,
Miss.
Yeah.
Jill. Yes, I have some question, because I don't understand what is contact farmer, advanced farmer,
yeah,
and follower farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I missed something in the text, because I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So, secondly, I imagine in Indonesia, like in most of the Asian country in the year 60s, there was a green revolution.
Yeah.
One is to shift from organic agriculture to chemical agriculture,
mm-hmm,
and pesticide. So your project, and there's many other projects in many countries like this, is to return to more environmental durable solution for agriculture, and return to what you call organic farming. So when there was the movement of the Green Revolution, there was a technician from the Department of Agriculture, and I imagine also from the chemical company to sell pesticide,
mm-hmm,
to explain to the farmers how to do with new techniques who increase the capacity of produce rice. So now, because I have some problem with this. You try to explain, okay, the farmers have no knowledge, but they lose the knowledge from before, totally, or so first. And second, you see, the farmers now use chemical pesticide, okay, they don't know how to do different way. So is it true? And secondly, when the Green Revolution happened, there was a lot of input from technicians, from in chemical industry to explain, to do. So is it the same way you want to do, or is it different? But I don't understand clearly. You want such agriculture, want to return with the traditional method. I imagine improve to have a better production. So, because you mentioned, yes, farmers facilitated from the agriculture. So, do they are ready to shift from chemical agriculture to organic agriculture? It's not clear for me.
And I'm not farmers. someone said yesterday that they would like to see more discussion, and we will be having a whole further session tomorrow where we look at the headlines, but just to stimulate you, those trigger questions I've put up on the whiteboard there. If anybody else listening to what Happy and Georg and Nisha have said has got particular questions they want to add into the long list that Happy's got already, then speak up.
So I would like to add more on this category of farmers, whether it's an informal category categorized by the community or it's like the government-led category, formal type or something.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know more on that one.
Yeah.
And definitely the criteria of all these categories, it would be very interesting for us also.
Yeah.
And I would be like more interested to know like how many households and area covered, and the possibility of replication of that one in the other areas. So, the basic thrust of this workshop and of this case studies are also to see whether we can replicate it in our markets as well. So, particularly that aspect would be very interesting.
Insurance, because unless you have 70% damage, you can't claim it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that is one thing. And the second is who pays the premium?
What?
Premium. Who pays the premium?
Premium.
Is this government or the farmers?
Yeah, there is a subsidy from the government. Yeah.
Subsidy.
Subsidy from the government.
Complete, 100%.
No, I think there are 10 or 20% if it should be paid by the farmers. But in this area, they cannot get this insurance because it's a karst area and a rain harvest farming. So it cannot be covered by this crop insurance. So they only give the insurance for a fertile land, which so that the risk of crop failure is lower than this area. Yeah. So this farmer really cannot access the crop insurance. Yeah, and I think for Nisha about this demonstration plot. So when we took the orientations of the program that we want to come back to the organic farming, and so actually the first entry is with the climate and disaster and climate risk mapping, and then from that we developed the action plan with the community. And During the initial of the project, we also make a complaint handling mechanism with the communities about what we can do and what we cannot do. And we also ask for community farmers' commitments. Mm-hmm. And one of the commitment is that we will not pay the farmers to do the demonstration plot, and they also have to provide the demonstration plot voluntarily by the farmer. And it is endorsed by the village government, the head of the village. And so if they agree with this, we continue. But if not, then we will not force them to do this. So all of the four farmers group, they agree with the demonstration plot. So we start from the cultivations before the planting until the post harvesting. And in each farmer groups, there are two type of demonstration plot. One is with the organic farming, and one is still with the chemical interventions. Because with this chemical fertilizer, it is aimed for the seeds bank. Because like a backup, so that if the organics really fail, then they still have something to harvest. But by the end of the day, when we did the harvesting time, It turns out that there are two farmer groups that the organic farm harvest is higher than the one with the chemicals. So actually, it's also gives the confidence to the farmer that actually it's not that bad. The result is not always like what we imagine, that the organic will be very low and it will and the chemical is always have a better harvest quality. So for the second planting phase, they provide more lands for the groups so that they could have more harvest here. For the first demonstration plot is only 500 meter square. Now some farmers they have make it into 3,000 meter squares. So it's quite double the number. Yeah. And the interesting about the demonstration plot is different with the demonstration plot from the government, because from the government. For the demonstration plot, they have criteria, like for example, minimum it should be 1,000 meter square, and then it should be located in a very ideal area with no pest, risk, and then it should be feasible, it should have good access, while actually these small farmers, they don't have this ideal demonstration plot, actually. So. So this is also, I think this is also part of the lesson, yeah, because if we give example which is very ideal, it makes the farmers reluctant because our land situation is not that ideal. Mm-hmm. So they are not willing to replicate. But if we start with, okay, this is the commonly typical land in this community, and we will try to introduce this, it's more effective then, because they can see the real example. And then the second one about the livestock, fermented livestock feeds. So yeah, formerly they buy the green livestock feeds outside the district, or they just make the like the straw just dry, and they just give it to the livestock so that the nutrition is lacking. So when we did the fermentations, we put the ingredients that has the nutrition and also the taste that the livestock will like the feeds, and it's not only using the straw or the materials the leaves that is available during the rainy seasons, but we put another leaves which is available during the dry seasons. It and with the mixed ingredients, then the leaves that is wasted now they can give it to the livestock with but still it has the nutrition. Yeah. For the step how to make the fermentations, I can share how. And what how to do it, so maybe because I cannot explain very details, but I can provide that information. And we also there's a trial and error process, like why the livestock doesn't like this fermented feeds. It is because the leaf is contaminated with dirt, or maybe the leaf is already how do you call it? It's like there's rain and it's almost rotten, like yeah. So choose they have to choose the leaves that is relatively clean like that. But then so they also make the amounts of they identify which leaf is not poisonous for the bees as well. And about the different grades of farmers, actually this is the classification made by the governments. I think it's because they want to identify which one is the potential farmers that could be the influencers among other farmers. So this is the farmers organizing approach done for the so that the facilitator, they could identify these classifications and select which farmer that can be their counterpart to influence the groups. And yes, in Indonesia, we have the farmer groups. Usually the farmers consist, the farmer group consists of 20 until 40 members. So there is mixed farmer groups, but there's also different like women farmers group, men farmers group is established in the community. For the number of household, because basically this is in one sub village it could consist of 100 household, 150 in Gunung Kidul, yeah, because the population density is not really high, and but for the farmer group mostly it's, the size is like 30, 20, 40 is maximum.
One household would be about how many people?
One household, five.
Sorry, Happy, can you say, repeat, how many households did you say? 20 to 40?
The farmer groups, the farmer groups in the community. So but for the household, it can be like relatively 100 to 200.
Okay. So 20 to 40 households in a group.
Yeah. And, So like what I write here, the three grades of farmers, like the follower farmers basically is the one who very late in accepting the innovations because they tend to see, and if the trend is good, then they will follow. But for the contact farmers, actually they have these facilitating roles. They are bridging the communications between the field facilitator from the government to the groups, and mostly they also have the like they are the leaders of the group, so that they have the decision making powers in the group and how to convince the group to take some innovations. And for the advanced farmer is like the community the farmers that get the training and then are able to transfer the knowledge to the other as well. And as I said, it's not easy to change from the habit of the traditional farming into the organic farming and introduce the seasonal calendar according to the science or the one that has been determined by the Ministry of Agriculture. But what we always say to the farmer is that we cannot expect different output if we do the things just as the same things. So we have to change the way we do to have a different result. And it is good that we have the demonstration plot in four groups so that they could actually learn that if they do it properly, then they could have a better result. So that they could have the peer exchange process and so that they could encourage and give motivation to each other, like why this so every 3 months we conduct the peer learning sessions amongst the four groups, and then they will share what are their lesson learned, what are their good practices, and what good practices that will be adopted by other farmers groups. And from these four farmer groups, it is replicated to another four new farmer groups in the next planting seasons in the next year. And it's interesting questions from Jiong whether the government is ready or not for the organic farming. Actually, not so much, yeah, because. The agriculture agency itself, they still also hesitate to make it fully organic. So sometimes they want to, but then if we try the fully organic, then the result will be low, and it should be reduced gradually, not fully organic. But we insist that that's okay. This is for learning because our project is also earmarked for organic farming, so that we cannot do this half, because half organic is not organic. So we will keep to the design, and we will learn how this gonna lead what will be the result. And as I said, that two demonstration plot shows that the organic farmer has better harvest than the non-organic.
I have a question about the farmers, that the advanced leader farmers,
mm-hmm.
And more so when you say that the government is not keen on this change back to 100% organic. Is there, earlier you said that the leader, the advanced farmers are selected by the government.
No, by the community.
By
the community. Okay. Actually, we anticipate this reluctance of the agricultural agency in organic in returning to organic farming. We make an MOU with them.
Yeah.
So we make an MOU with them to jointly assisting the community to come back to organic farming. So that they also give the training on how to do fully organics, and then also to together with us to give the monitoring and assistance during the planting until the harvesting time. So that so that there will be no room for negotiations in the process to change gradually reduce the chemical but pure organics. So with this MOU and engagement from the very beginning, asking for the commitment, it is also create the ownership from the agency, and also they also make time to really come to the community in the fields to do the monitoring. Otherwise, they will just do the business as usual. Like, they might not come, maybe only like once in 3 months, not do the intensive monitoring.
So I have to follow up question. When these farmers group are categorized, like in the beginning, you don't know who is has the potential of facilitating and who is more active. So when it is categorized like, okay, these are the farmers or these are the advanced farmers, so at what time they are categorized? In the beginning or in the middle or after the...
I think for us, it's during the process when we did when we did the training, then we also make the practice there. And we could see which farmer group's member which is more active, and then really engage in the training and practices, and know which farmer members which is willing to replicate directly from the training and practices that we did. So like one person they initiating to produce the organic farming, the organic fertilizer, and then another will follow, and they also make, they like, for example, there are four people, like they will together make one organic fertilizer here and then move there, so that everybody will get the terms. Yeah.
So it is more or less the same way that we do, like we provide the training for every nation, then we during the process also we see its potential to become a hit person or this thing. So it's it's quite similar to us also. And then my question is like regarding the nutrition value, since does it have any scientific base, or generally the fermented item is regarded as it has low nutrition value, so does it have any research or scientific base that there are these are nutritious than the dried
So do you have? Yeah, it has. So it's been
tested.
And like so, some changes that is visible after the demonstration plot is that formerly the farmer they only put the livestock manure in the farmland. But and it create pests actually. Mm-hmm. It attracts pests. But now they process the manure into the organic fertilizer so that it will not become a pest enemy. And then they also know how to deal with the pest. If there's a pest attack, then they find ways. They water down the land farm and so that the pest died, and also identify what are the plant pest organism and what the natural enemy, so that they don't need to have the chemical pesticide. Yeah, and also new knowledge on what variety of plants that they could plant in different seasons.
You've mentioned about Katan, unregulated farming product, which is available online.
Mm.
So could you further explain how does this work? Is this accessible to all the farmers? And how is
for
it?
For those having Android, yes.
For,
So it's this application, you can download that in your Android phones. So this is not accessible for the farmers in Gunung Kidul because mostly they are old farmers and also they are not exposed to the new technology. So this is with the for the next phase because we got the funds, the funds from the Humanitarian Innovation Fund, which is led by ADIRN. So we tried the next phase. We want to introduce the farmer to use this Katam, and how they apply this technology in farming, But it's not started yet. Yes, Joe.
Okay, so I imagine in Indonesia, same like in Vietnam, you are advertising on the television, very nice with a cartoon to sell a product for agriculture, chemical, pesticide. Okay. And this makes the people, the farmers, buy this product they give back. So do you plan in your idea in the future to support the farmers to shift from organic, to use the same method of advertising, of marketing as the chemical industry used in the past and still now? Because it works like this now. So I don't know, your experience is 100, 200, 500 farmers, okay? Humanitarian aid. But the question, and I wonder, is there is millions of farmers in Indonesia, in Vietnam. There are some experience, very limited, with input to shift. We make one with ADIRN 2 years ago on a project on the coastal community. So it is limited, but at the same time, the chemical, I said, what is now traditional industry, continue to have a modern method of communication, of marketing to sell their products, and people continue to buy. So do you have idea to use the same way of marketing and to enter into the market or not?
So. Well, frankly, for the time being, we only focusing on too, like not marketing like those the government did when they introduced the chemical fertilizer, but we expose our organic farming result and introduce it to a farmer and for those interested to adopt replicate the practices, then this farmer they will transfer their knowledge to the other farmers. And then so our main focus right now is also to create a farmer who has the facilitating skills and transfer knowledge skills, so that the knowledge will expand. And that's the first one. And then the second one is that trying to link the farmer who produced the organic farming to the available organic market channel, so that the harvest they could sell it in the right place with a relatively high price. And then the third one is to make a network of farmers where they could make a seeds bank as their additional income, because the seeds subsidy the seeds is very expensive. It's quite expensive in Indonesia, and the seed subsidy only cover 40% of the total seeds demands in the district. So, and also the quality of the seeds subsidized seeds by the government is not good. So sometimes it's already expired, and so that it's not good. So we try to but there is a regulations that if you want to market the seeds, then you have to get the license. But if you make a network, then you can sell it among your networks without violating the law. So that's what we aim to do in the next phase.
Yeah. Thank you. Main readers, do you feel your questions have been answered, because we're kind of over time? I'm sad that we're out of time. I'm not a farmer, and when I read that paper, I didn't really understand what's going on, which is my fault, not yours. As I've listened, I see at least three really interesting issues behind this that I might try and bring back to the discussion tomorrow. So this is a brief input from me. Firstly, when you talk about farmers who are followers, farmers who are influencers, that rings bells with me with a lot of practical community development situations. A particular program of work I worked with where, and Sarwar is nodding, where within a community you identify the innovators, you identify the kind of mainstream people, and you identify the conservatives, and you can match that to the curve of innovation. You may have seen this, you know. So I think that's really interesting, and it leads to the question, to what extent can you develop the leaders and innovators within a particular community so that that strengthens the sustainability, because they become less dependent on technical inputs and advice from outside. I'm just saying these questions, I'm not looking for answers now because we're out of time. The second one is what I sense from Guillaume is the kind of business lobby. The interests of the business lobby are in selling chemicals, in selling hybrid seed, all these things that lock farmers into expensive agro inputs. And what you're saying is really interesting, you know, things like creating a seed bank and then circumventing the licensing issue by distributing it through a network and so on. But that's a whole development issue as well, really. You know, the tension between the actual interests of people at community level not being the same necessarily as the interests of big business just trying to ship lots of chemicals and so on. So that's a really interesting area. And thirdly, Several of the things you said suggest a bad fit between government policy and practice and the actual needs of farmers. The way in which they dispense advice, the way in which they set up crop insurance and so on, as you described it, doesn't really fit the needs of farmers. And so that implies the need for advocacy at a policy influence level and how that's done. So I'm only saying those things because I looked at this as being a very technical paper because I don't understand agriculture, and it's got some really rich underlying themes which are cross-cutting to any number of other case studies. So that was an input from me. Unless anybody has any final word, then we'll...
Yes, fine.
Oh, the final word is from Will.
Long time ago, when we were young, we say, small is beautiful, but big is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm very interested because 40 years ago when we started to work on appropriate technology on the same way, you know, to start from traditional practice, to improve, to expand. We work in India, in the Center of Science for Village. Very interesting, okay. But it doesn't enter to the real market. So that's what I ask you, are you, yes, what you say, the vaccine, the network of people to exchange it's very interesting. In Europe, you have the same movement of biological agriculture, difference is 3%. Yes, and traditional plant agriculture is 97%. Increase little, but very little. But they use the same system of marketing, of advertising, of campaign, of people to see it, for example. Okay, I see.
And can I say
thank you.
Can I say one thing? I'm very interested about what Guillaume's been saying, because I think what you're talking about is also changing and therefore putting the home economy maybe at risk. There's a doubt.
Yeah.
The farmer comes home and he says, I've been told about this, and his wife says, you're joking. Don't jeopardize our income generating capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So this issue of whether she's watching a television program about organic farming could be really important, that she could be the one saying, have you heard about the change taking place? The decision making about money is not just the farmer on his own, it's a family thing.
Aspect,
so
yeah.
I think that it's a really important issue for the races. Maybe we can come back to that tomorrow. But
yeah.
It's just a difficult question too, as to how you have the money.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Happy. You've got all our brains going round and round.
Thank you for all the inputs. Yeah.
Yeah.